So a few months back, I was meeting up with a friend who I hadn't seen in a while, and we were going to go grab lunch. He came, he picked me up, we're driving in the car together. We hadn't seen each other in a few months, so we're just kind of catching up on what's going on in each other's lives. And about 5 minutes into our drive together, my friend looks at me and he says, "Matthew, I've got to tell you something." I was like, "Okay, what's up? What's going on?" He says, "Matthew, I just need to let you know, I'm not a Christian anymore." I was kind of like, okay. It kind of caught me off guard. I was surprised a bit. It wasn't, you know, I never saw that coming. And he began to share with me about how he had walked away from church a few months before and now how he was no longer wanting to identify as a Christian. He just wasn't interested in doing that anymore. And this was a guy who for a long time was a strong believer, one of my closest friends, loved Jesus, went on mission trips, was at church, he served, he volunteered. And when he told me that, it really surprised me. And for the rest of our lunch together, he kind of just walked me through kind of his frustrations with church, how he had been hurt, how kind of he had been disappointed, some of the doubts that he had. And everything he shared with me, like I understood where he was coming from. I really empathized with how he was feeling. He had a right to be frustrated. He had a right to feel disappointed and to feel hurt. Like, I get it. I understood what he was saying. But the whole time we're talking, and in my mind, what I was thinking was this. I was thinking, really? That's why you left? Like, I understand you're frustrated. I understand you're hurt. I understand you have these doubts about God and about following him. But all your frustrations, all your doubts, all your hurts, they really have nothing to do with Jesus. And they really have nothing to do with what it means to follow Jesus. And I began to think, you know, it really isn't necessary that you leave. I get you're frustrated, I get you're hurt, but you didn't have to walk away. You can still follow Jesus. So tonight what we're doing is we're beginning this new series called That's Why You Left. And we're gonna be looking at four unnecessary reasons that students walk away from church and walk away from faith. And these, I think, are probably the four most common reasons why students leave church and leave faith, either while they're in middle school or high school or after they graduate and go to college. Now, I recognize that there are three groups kind of present in the room tonight. There's three groups in here. And I'm going to kind of describe these three groups, and I want you to identify kind of which group you represent. The first group is those of you who are committed. You're committed. Man, you would say you're a follower of Jesus. You're growing. You love Jesus. You love coming to church. You've got a lot of friends here. You connect with your small group leader. You're growing. You're thriving. And you're just really committed. You're sold out to Jesus. You're committed to this church. And you probably think in your head, there's no way I would ever walk away. I would never walk away from church. I would never walk away from my faith because you are committed. But the reality is that studies show that more than 50%, more than half of students who grow up in church walk away from church or walk away from their faith when they go to college. Many of those eventually come back a few years later, but many of those, after they walk away from church, after they walk away from faith, they never come back around. And as a student pastor, that number bothers me. 50%, that number really bothers me. And some of those people who walk away, some of the people I've seen walk away, were the most committed students in high school. They were the students that people thought, man, they are so sold out for Jesus. They're so committed. They're never going to walk away. They're always going to follow Jesus. And then they get to college and they walk away. So for those of you who are in here and you would say you are committed, my goal with this series for you is that whenever you do face these challenges and issues that we're going to talk about, that you would realize that you don't need to walk away. And that number of 50% walking away when they go to college, I know I can't get that number down to zero, but my prayer and my goal for the student ministry is that number 50% would be a lot lower. So there's those of you who are committed. There's a second group. It's those of you who I would say are on the fence. You're on the fence. You are actually starting to consider walking away from church and maybe even walking away from your faith. You think back to a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and you were committed. You loved Jesus. You loved being at church. And something has happened over the past few months or the past year. And you're really starting to think, I just don't know if this is something I want to be a part of. I don't know if for the rest of middle school or for the rest of high school, if I want to be a part of this church thing and following Jesus. And you're really starting to struggle and wrestle with whether you want to stay plugged in, whether you really want to continue to follow Jesus. And my goal for you, if you would say you're in that group, my goal for you with this series is that we would address probably that reason or those reasons you're considering walking away. And that by the end of the series, you would be convinced that you don't need to walk away. If anything, you need to re-engage and follow Jesus in a deeper and greater way than you ever have. So there's the committed, there's those who are on the fence, and then there's another group in here, those of you who I would say are not convinced. You're not convinced. Maybe you've been coming for a while now, you've been coming off and on, and you like church, you like Jesus, but you're not really convinced that you want to give your life to Jesus. You're not really ready to commit all the way. And maybe you've got a few frustrations, you've got a few questions. And my hope for you is that in this series, we will address those questions, we'll address those concerns, and that by the end of this series, you would be ready to commit your life to Jesus, and you would recognize that following Jesus is the greatest decision that you could ever make. So there's the committed, on the fence, not convinced, but there's a fourth group. There's a fourth group. And this is the group that inspired this series. And this group is not in here tonight. This group is those who have already left. They've already left. I have a feeling most of you can think of a friend, you can think of a family member who has left. They've walked away from church. They've walked away from faith. And this series that we're in, it's inspired by real people and real experiences. It's inspired by students who I know who've walked away from church. They've walked away from faith. It's inspired by close friends of mine who have walked away. It's inspired by close family members of mine who have walked away from church or walked away from faith for whatever reason. And this group, those who have already left, this group, man, it breaks my heart. This group of people, it keeps me up at night. It bothers me because I want to see them come back to church. I want to see them come back to faith. And maybe you have a friend, you have a family member, and you want to see them come back. You want to see them come back to church. You want to see them come back to faith. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. Tonight, we're going to look at the first of those four unnecessary reasons that people walk away. And the first reason is this: many people walk away from church, they walk away from faith because they've been hurt by other Christians or they've been hurt by the church. Many people walk away because they've been hurt by the church and they've been hurt by other Christians. The reality is that Christians don't always have the best reputation. Christians are considered judgmental. Oftentimes, they're considered narrow-minded. Many people, when they think of Christians, they think of people who are hypocrites. They say they believe one thing, but they behave very differently. People think Christians are rude, are mean. Some people think Christians are very cliquey and they're exclusive and they keep people out. And the reality is that as Christians, we've kind of earned this reputation. We kind of deserve to have this reputation because we don't always treat people the way that we should. And I've got friends, I've got family members, I know students who have walked away from church, they've walked away from faith because of other Christians or because of church. Some, they felt judged by people at church. You know, they made a mistake, they messed up, and rather than their friends coming around them and encouraging them and showing them grace and compassion, all they felt was judged. And they said, you know what? I don't have time for this. I don't want to deal with this. And they walked away. I know other friends. I know other students who they came to church and they just felt like it was just a bunch of cliques. And they felt like they could never be included. They never felt like they were a part of a group. And after a while, they said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm not wasting my time with this anymore. And they walked away. I know friends, I know students who have been disappointed by a pastor or by one of their small group leaders. They felt like they were let down and they chose to walk away. I think all of us in here, we know of people who have walked away. We know of people who have left because they felt hurt or they felt wronged. And maybe you're in here tonight and that's your experience. You're thinking about leaving church. You're thinking about walking away from faith because you feel hurt by us. Maybe a leader, maybe a friend, maybe myself, somebody has done something that's rubbed you the wrong way. Maybe you feel excluded. Maybe you feel disappointed. But you're in here tonight and you're thinking about walking away because you've been hurt. The reality is that this problem of Christians hurting other Christians and people being hurt by the church, this isn't a new problem. This isn't a 21st century problem. This isn't something that just Bell Shoals deals with. This is something that churches all across the world have dealt with, and churches have dealt with since the beginning of the church. When the first group of people met together to worship Jesus, they gathered together, they were having these same kind of problems. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote several different letters to different churches. And one of the churches he wrote a letter to was the church of Colossae. Everybody say Colossae. Colossae. So he wrote this letter to the church in the city of Colossae, and they were having these same issues. They had people who were being hurt by each other. They were hurt by the church. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." So Paul is writing to all the believers in the city of Colossae. He's saying, hey, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, listen up. I'm about to tell you something important. But Paul wasn't just writing to believers back then. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you say you're a believer, Paul is writing to you as well. And this is what Paul says to all believers. He says to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul is saying, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is kind of how God expects you to live and how God expects you to treat other people. He expects you to be kind. He expects you to be compassionate. He expects you to be humble and gentle and patient with other people. This is God's expectation for all believers for how they treat other people. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church that I would want to be a part of. I would want to be a part of a church where everyone is kind and compassionate and humble and gentle. But the reality is, when Paul's writing this, not everybody who's in this church is living this way. Some people are living very differently. Because in verse 13, Paul says this, "Bear with each other." He says, "Bear with each other." And to bear with one another means this. It means to be patient with each other. It means to show each other grace when you mess up. It means to not give up on somebody, to not quit on somebody. And what Paul is saying is, look, I know Christians are supposed to be kind and compassionate and gentle and humble, but Paul is saying, look, there are going to be times where that does not happen. There are going to be times where Christians don't live up to that expectation, where in fact Christians are mean and rude and prideful. And he says, when that happens, when Christians don't live up to that expectation of how they're supposed to live, we are to bear with each other. We're to show each other grace. We're not to give up on each other. We're not to quit on one another. You know, there's this expectation that Christians should be the nicest people in the world. Oftentimes people think, hey, if you're a Christian, you should be really nice, you should be really kind, you should be really compassionate. And to an extent, that is a fair expectation. Because if we say that we follow Jesus, it means that we should be treating people and behaving the way that Jesus behaved and the way that Jesus treated people. So if we say we're a follower of Jesus, we should be more like Jesus. But the reality is this, church is not a place full of a bunch of perfect people. We are not a room, we are not a church, we are not a student ministry full of a bunch of perfect people. Church is a place full of a bunch of imperfect, broken people with issues. Can I get an amen? We are not a place with a bunch of perfect people. You understand, we need to expect and accept that Christians are not perfect. We need to expect that Christians aren't going to be perfect, and we need to accept the fact that Christians aren't perfect. Just because you give your life to Jesus, just because somebody else gives their life to Jesus, does not mean they are this perfect person who doesn't struggle, who treats everyone kind. Their problems don't go away. When somebody starts to follow Jesus, they bring a whole lot of baggage into that relationship. Christians aren't perfect. Now, I know most of you have probably realized this, but for the two or three in here tonight who haven't realized this yet, you do not have a perfect youth pastor, okay? I know most of you are thinking, amen, I know that, you definitely aren't, but for the few of you who maybe need that clarified, I'm not a perfect youth pastor. If you stick around for long enough, I will probably disappoint you at some point in time. That's reality. I love each and every one of you. I want what's best for each and every one of you, but I am not perfect. I am flawed, and I don't always get it right. You're gonna come to me and you're gonna share something that's going on in your life, and I'm gonna forget to follow up with you about it. You're gonna come to me wanting to talk to me one day, and I'm having a bad day, and I'm short with you, and I don't give you the attention that you deserve. I'm flawed. I'm not perfect. I'm gonna disappoint you. And here's what I need from you. When I disappoint you, I need you to bear with me. I need you to show me grace. I need you to not give up on me or quit on me or walk away from church because I disappointed you. Because the reality is, I'm not perfect. Your small group leaders, you have awesome small group leaders, some of the best small group leaders in the world. Your small group leaders are not perfect. Your small group leaders are going to disappoint you. They're going to forget to reach out to you when you miss a couple weeks of church. They might forget your name. They might not respond to you the way that you think that they should. They're not perfect. They're going to disappoint you. And when they do, you need to bear with them. You need to show them grace. You need to not give up on them. You need to not walk away from church because your small group leader is not living up to your expectation. This is not a perfect student ministry. Listen, people come to me all the time telling me about the issues in the student ministry. Can I tell you something? I know more about the issues in the student ministry than anybody else, okay? I'm very aware of the issues here in the student ministry. This is not a perfect student ministry. You will run into cliques here. You'll run into people who are mean. You'll run into people who gossip. You'll run into people who disappoint you. This is not a perfect student ministry. So when somebody disappoints you, when somebody hurts you, here's what I'm going to ask from you. Bear with them. Be patient with them. Show them grace. Don't give up on them. And the reason that you bear with them is this, is because you're not a perfect student. It's because at some point in time, no matter how great you are, no matter how nice you are, at some point in time, if you stick around long enough, you're going to disappoint somebody in this room. You're going to hurt somebody in this room. You're going to make somebody else want to walk away from church. And in that moment, when you hurt somebody else, you're going to want them to bear with you. You're going to want them to show grace to you and to not quit on you. You know, it's so funny how when we mistreat other people, we want them to give us the benefit of the doubt. We want them to assume the best. Like if you're mean to somebody, you want them to hey, don't they know I'm having a bad day? Don't they know what's going on in my life? Don't they know I was just kidding? We want people to assume the best about us when we hurt them. But if somebody hurts us, we don't want to hear the excuses. We don't want to assume the best about them. We want to jump all over them. We want to write them off. Man, we should never hold people to a standard that we don't want other people to hold us to. You know, we hold people to the standard, especially at church. Everybody should be super nice to me. People should never wrong me. People should be perfect. We hold people to the standard, but the reality is we would never want people to hold us to that same kind of standard. We're not a perfect student ministry. And here's the truth. There is no perfect church, and there is no perfect student ministry out there. So you can get mad here, you can get frustrated, you can walk away, but you're not gonna find another student ministry that doesn't have issues. Because if that other student ministry or that other church has people there, there are going to be issues. And if you do come across a perfect student ministry with no problems, can I ask you to do something? Don't go there, because it's not going to be perfect anymore. Okay, there's no such thing as a perfect student ministry. There's no such thing as a perfect church. We're all flawed. We have issues. But Paul is telling us we need to bear with each other. Give each other grace. Don't give up on each other. He goes on to say this. Don't just bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Paul says we need to forgive each other. When somebody wrongs you, and somebody probably will wrong you at some point here, he says you need to forgive them, which means you let go of what you're holding on over them. You let go of that bitterness. You let go of that anger. You let go of that resentment. You let it go. And here's the reason why you forgive. It's because forgiveness is the greatest thing you can do for yourself. Because the real victim of unforgiveness is not necessarily the person that you're mad at. The real victim of unforgiveness ends up being yourself, because you let that bitterness and that frustration, that anger, it begins to brew inside of you, brew in your heart, and you become just this bitter, toxic person that nobody wants to be around. That person you're mad at, they don't even know you're mad at them. But you allow this unforgiveness to rule in your life. Paul says, just forgive them. And then he says this, to forgive as the Lord forgave you. He says, you want to know how you're supposed to forgive other people, especially at church? Forgive them the same way that Jesus forgave you. The same way. And that's really raising the bar on forgiveness. Because how did Jesus forgive us? When you think about it, Jesus, he made the first effort. Jesus didn't sit back and say, hey, I'll forgive them once they apologize. You know, I'll sit back and once they own it, once they come to me and say, hey, I messed up, and they come and ask for forgiveness, then I'll forgive them. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus made the first move. He went to us. Jesus's forgiveness, it was unconditional. It wasn't based on us deserving it or earning it. Jesus says, I'm going to forgive you whether you deserve it or you don't. And the reality is none of us do. And Jesus's forgiveness was unlimited. It is unlimited. Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'll forgive you 10 times for that sin, but if you commit that an 11th time, I'm done. I'm not forgiving you anymore. Jesus's forgiveness is unlimited. And Paul says we are to forgive other people that same way, that we don't sit back and wait for an apology to forgive somebody, that we forgive them before they even ask for forgiveness, that we forgive them whether they deserve it or not. And we forgive them time and time again, even if they continue to wrong us, because that is how Jesus forgave us. He goes on to say this, and over all these virtues, put on love. He says to put on love, which means this, is that love is a choice. Love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. He says you can either put it on or you can take it off. He says you have to decide, are you going to love people? Are you going to put love on? And you can make the decision that you are going to love people even if you don't feel like it. You can make the decision that you are going to show grace to people even if you don't feel like it. Love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. He goes on to say this, love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He says, love is that glue that holds it all together. He says, you can't be kind to somebody. You can't be compassionate to somebody. You can't be gentle and patient to somebody unless you truly love them. Love is what holds it on together. And if you make the decision, I am going to love this person, it makes it possible to show that compassion and to show that kindness. And then Paul finishes by saying this in verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ, let the peace of Jesus rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Paul's saying this, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a member of his family. And Jesus's family is the church. I know a lot of people who have this attitude of, hey, I love Jesus, I like Jesus, but I really don't want anything to do with this church. I'll follow Jesus, but I'm not interested in church. And here's the reality. You can't have Jesus and not have his church. You can't have Jesus and not have his family. It's a package deal. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to his family. You said yes to his church. And the Bible tells us that Jesus died for his church. Jesus laid down his life for his family. It's that important to him. So if it's that important to him, we can't just say, hey, Jesus, I'll take you, but I don't want your family. Hey, Jesus, I'll take you, but I don't want your church. Paul says that's not an option. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a member of this family, whether you want to be or not. As the band makes their way back up, now I recognize that there are some of you in here tonight, and you've been hurt by other Christians. You've maybe even been hurt by this church. You've been hurt by people in this room. And if that's your story, if that's kind of what you're struggling with tonight, man, I just want to say, I am so sorry that that's happened. I truly am sorry that you've been hurt, that you've been disappointed. If I've hurt you, if I've disappointed you, if I haven't lived up to your expectations, man, I'm sorry that I've failed. I truly am. But what I want to say to you is this. You don't need to walk away. You don't need to walk away from church. You don't need to walk away from faith because of your frustrations or your hurt or your disappointment from other Christians and from the church. You don't need to walk away. Instead, what I want to challenge you to do is to take Paul's words seriously. I want to challenge you to bear with one another, to not expect everybody in this room to be perfect, but that when they mess up, that you bear with them, that you show them compassion, that you don't give up on them, that you bear with them, that you forgive them, that when somebody in here wrongs you, you don't hold that over their head. You don't say, you messed up, I'm not forgiving you, I'm walking away. You choose to let go of that anger and that resentment and that bitterness, and that you choose to love them. Whether you feel like it or not, that you would put on love and say, I'm going to love these people whether they deserve it or not, because at the end of the day, they are my family. They are people that Jesus died for. And can you imagine the difference that we could make for Jesus if all of us said, you know what? I'm going to bear with one another. I'm going to forgive everybody. I'm going to choose to love everybody. Jesus said this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Look, Jesus isn't calling us to be a perfect church or a perfect family. What Jesus is asking us to do is this, is to forgive one another and to love one another the same way Jesus forgave us and loved us. So with everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed, here's what I want to do for the response time tonight. I know there's some of you in here and you are hurt, you're disappointed, you're frustrated, and you have considered walking away. And what I'm going to ask is that if tonight you're making the decision, you're not going to leave, you're going to take Paul's words seriously, you're going to choose to forgive, you're going to choose to love, you're going to choose to bear with one another, is that we're going to open up this altar just as a way for you to come and to lay that down. Lay it down at God's feet. But then I also know there's some of you in here and you've got a friend who has walked away from church. You've got a friend who has walked away from Jesus. And what I'm going to invite you to do is to come forward as well. If you have a friend or a family member that you need to pray for, and that your prayer is that they would find their way back to Jesus, they would find their way back to church. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be addressing a lot of these other issues that cause people to walk away. It would be a perfect time, a perfect opportunity to bring somebody who's walked away, to bring somebody who's struggling with their faith. So God, we thank you that you love us, that you forgive us. God, that you're patient with us, that you don't give up on us. But God, I know that there are students in here who are hurt, who are disappointed, who are frustrated. God, my prayer tonight is that you would set them free from that. Lord, that they would realize they don't need to walk away. They don't need to leave. God, that they would extend that same kind of forgiveness and love and grace to those around them. And God, I pray for the many people that we know who have walked away from you, who have walked away from church. God, that you would bring them back. That you would move in their life, that you would use us to reach out to them. God, we thank you that you love us, that you came after us, and that you don't give up on us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.